A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday. Navy football, baby. Let's go. Midshipman looking to tie the football game, Mitch, with a two-point conversion opportunity. I did not think a month ago that I would be that into a Navy Tulane football game on September 19, 2020. I thought I'd be watching BYU and Army, but here I am, Navy trying to tie up the football game, and they have done it. We are tied at 24.
I love it, Matt. And the thing is that I love when BYU's opponents, you know, that BYU beats, they produce good results. Like, I hate when BYU beats teams that just end up spiraling out of control.
Yes.
And become terrible teams, because we always hear it, well, yeah, you beat 1984 Pitt, but they ended up winning three games. Oh, Oklahoma in 2009, they only ended up winning eight games. Like, don't give me that. Like, in that moment, in that night, that was a big win. And you hope that those teams play out to live up to some of the expectations and the hype, because last year Navy was an 11-win football team, so
right.
Hopefully they can pick this thing up, get some momentum, and turn this season around, because BYU thumped them, and it could have been easy to say, you know, like, this season's lost, it's COVID-19 related, we weren't even tackling leading up to that BYU game, it's all she wrote, but they fought back, down 24-0, now this thing's tied up, so let's see what Navy can do.
We should probably talk about the Big Ten, but all I want to do is talk about Navy football right now. Big Ten, crazy, just crazy. I don't even know what word to use, Mitch, when describing the Big Ten. They were the first to pull the plug, and then here they are making a return, and they'll be playing an eight-game football schedule starting, October 24th, I believe. And there's some interesting games, and I think at the end of the day, It's hard to summarize my thoughts because they're all over the place, but I'll do my best to summarize my thoughts, Mitch. Then I want your opinion. At the end of the day, more than anything, I'm happy for the players, and I'm happy for the coaches that these guys are playing, because they wanted to play. And I think the players should have a say in what happens in college football. And I like that the Big Ten has made that happen. What I don't understand, though, and then I'll get to you, Mitch, what I don't understand is really hardly anything has changed from when they pulled the plug in the season. To me, and I'm not an expert, I'm not claiming to be, the only significant thing that I can see from their announcement is daily testing. But other than that, there's still concerns with what happens with the heart. There's still concerns with player safety. So I don't really see a whole lot that's changed from when they pulled the plug to now they're playing. But at the end of the day, I am happy for the players that will be playing in the Big Ten.
Yeah, it's fascinating, because you wonder, we've heard about follow the science, follow this. Well, what's been the drastic developments the last few weeks that has suddenly made it go from, okay, August 11th, this thing could not be played,
yep,
to now suddenly, oh, football can be played. I think that the daily testing played a big role,
yep,
but I think ultimately, too, one of the big drivers here was, and they're not going to admit this in the Big Ten Conference, but the loss of TV revenues and the impact it was going to have on its entire athletic department, and not making any money from the Big Ten Network and Fox, that ultimately made them say, you know, we got to recuperate some cost. And again, they'll never say that, because they have unpaid student athletes who get a free education. That means a lot, but still, it's kind of the reality here. And I think that when seeing the other leagues like the Big 12, you're seeing teams like the Sun Belt, Conference USA playing football games, Ohio State's probably sitting back and going, why the heck aren't we playing? And when they're when they were pushing the narrative, asking the conference, why aren't we playing? Well, then it was on. Because when Ohio State's mad and angry, the Big Ten's going to make sure they're making Ohio State happy. And they're going to start October 24th. And one of the other teams that was really upset with shutting down the season back in August was Nebraska. And the Big Ten laid it thick on Nebraska. Their opening schedule is at Ohio State, then Wisconsin, Northwestern, and Penn State. So, Nebraska, for all your chirping, the Big Ten rewarded you with maybe one of the toughest four-game stretches that's the Big Ten's going to have this season. But, yeah, it's good that the Big Ten is back. If we want to have any sort of a national champion in college football this year, they needed to be in the mix because Ohio State is definitely one of the four best teams in college football this year.
And I also think, Mitch, too, because there was the pressure from the get-go from Nebraska, and then you had some parents coming in from other teams and players as well, you know, led by Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. A lot of players, we want to play the movement. I think the pressure really cranked up after week one when you saw games like BYU and Navy, Texas State and UTSA, where they played good competitive football games, and there were no outbreaks. I mean, we've seen some postponed games, but I would, this is just personal opinion here, I would not consider BYU football as an outbreak. I think a small couple cases with the states and the protocols in place, that game couldn't be played, but I wouldn't consider that an outbreak. A small group of players, I think the pressure really ramped up after weeks one and two, where you saw a lot of football games were being played and a lot of football games were being played safely and successfully.
Yeah, and it's good. You know, that the Big Ten is back and Pac-12 football potentially.
They're back, Mitch.
Yeah, they're gonna be back. I agree. But as far as the start date, that's kind of up in the air. Our own KSL Sports Tom Hackett reported yesterday that November 7th is the likely target date for the Pac-12, which is notable because I believe October 31st is the deadline to be involved in the college football playoffs. So
I was just going to say that's too late.
The Pac-12 would be self-admitting that, hey, we're going to just play a season without being involved in the college football playoff, which wouldn't surprise me at all with the Pac-12 conference. The way they operate would not surprise me one bit.
The big issue with the Pac-12 though is the states of California and Oregon. I mean, that there were that mess with Governor Newsom that was hard to stomach, where the players were like, Governor Newsom, please let us play. I've never had anything in the legislation that prevents you from doing it. Just weird stuff going on in the Pac-12.
Yeah, Pac-12's always weird, and the Mountain West Conference, they might be back maybe October 24th as well. So again, it's good to see all these leagues coming back, but you just go, why didn't you just maybe back in August, instead of shutting it all down when we were still weeks before the season, why didn't you just pump the brakes and say, we're going to hold off and maybe delay the start of the season till, say, October 1st, because you basically got to that outcome anyway.
Yeah.
It was so pointless to postpone the season when they did. I think they got a case of seeing everyone else that was still playing and seeing these teams play games, and they were getting a little bit envious and thinking, man, the season could happen. Postponements will happen, but the season is still going to try and move forward as much as possible. And I think that the Big Ten realized, hey, we got to get this thing back up and running and not fall behind the eight ball with these other leagues.
And I think the real issue, Mitch, which we've talked on ad nauseum here on Cougar Sports Saturday, where was the plan in the summer? I mean, some of the things I see from the Big Ten, which I agree with, I think they're great. Why wasn't that all along? Hey, you've got to have a positivity rate under 5%. If you test, you're out for at least 3 weeks. These are all things that didn't need to be implemented now. They could have been implemented all along back in April or May when you saw what was going on, saying, hey, we're going to play, but here are some protocols that we're putting in place. And the only way these are erased is if there's a vaccine. Just stunning that these things weren't discussed in the summer.
Yeah, Big Ten's going to have an eight-game schedule, 8+1. They'll have their plus one is a championship weekend where the number one team in one division will play the other number one team, and then number two, number three, and so forth.
I got to cut you off. Tulane has dropped a 4th-and-5, Mitch. Navy regains the football.
That is fantastic. We should not have underestimated the Navy going up against waves. They're going to navigate that quite nicely. They're America's finest for a reason. They're going to be able to handle some green waves quite nicely. We should have expected this, Matt, to be quite
honest. I'm sorry. That was very rude of me, but I'm just so into this Navy and Tulane game. Fourth and five, dropped. Navy takes over with the football and a chance to take the lead here in the fourth quarter.
Well, we got to take a break, though, Matt. We'll watch some more of this Navy game here in the break, but we got to get to a break. We'll get a traffic and weather update. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.